So good to see you. I think we got some folks a little bit confused. We don't have time change in Arizona. So we got some folks out sick or traveling or something that got their clocks messed up. Who knows? But anyway, we're glad you're here this morning. Looking forward to the service. Another beautiful day here in Paradise of Arizona. Going to be a little cooler with it. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning and ask God's blessings on our service, and we'll get started this morning. Father, we do love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Father, we thank you for the joy of service and fellowship, and we do ask that you bless us today. I pray that you'll be with those who are out sick this morning. I know that Brother Sam is still recovering for a respiratory thing that's going on, as well as the York family. I pray that your blessing upon them, help them to strengthen them. And Lord, I pray that you would be with Miss Carol Pratt, who's also in the hospital, as you continue to strengthen her body as she recovers from her surgery. And Father, again, we just want to praise you and thank you for your goodness, your provisions, and help us today as we lift our voices and hearts to worship you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
The bride of Christ will rise.
All right, before we have our announcements, I have a certificate here. This is such a blessing. Harvest Baptist Church Discipleship Certificate. This is to certify that Susan Arano Doyle of the Adult Bible Fellowship of Harvest Baptist Church in Goodyear has completed the requirements for the basic discipleship program. Amen. And she is there, Susan. Congratulations. Susan also desires to take the advanced course as well, as his brother Sam has also asked about getting enrolled in that as well. So we will continue to pray for them. It's so exciting as a pastor to see folks continue through their discipleship and growing. Again, as a church, I want to thank you for your generosity and your obedience to the Lord of giving your tithes and offering. The Lord's been so good to us here at Harvest Baptist Church. Looking forward to giving this morning, this time of worship, as we also continue to pray about what the Lord would have you to give in reference with our missionaries and our missions conference that's coming up just around the corner. Brother Draper, you ask God's blessings upon our giving this morning, please.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much this morning for this time we can spend in your word and your house. We pray that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak through our pastor this morning to each one of us. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us. Thank you for this time we can give back such a small portion of what you have so bountifully blessed us with. We ask your blessing upon it this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, remember, Easter is just 4 weeks away. Please don't forget to pick up some flyers out there in the foyer. They're easy to hand out, or just even have a place where you can put on the doorknob or screen door. I want to encourage you to grab some of those and invite your friends and neighbors in your community. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our service this morning. As the men pray for me, I'll be praying for them and as our church family as well. Let's go before the Lord together. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, we are so truly grateful for the privilege and opportunity to come before thy throne. I pray that you would help us this morning, Father, that we would yield ourselves, that you may do what only you can do in the life of Harvest Baptist Church. Father, I thank you for the men here today, and especially those Harvest men, Father, that you just bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, Father, put a hedge about them. Father, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, guard their eyes, guard their ears, guard their hearts, guard their tongue, and help them be the godly example at home and community and here at church. Pray that you'd use them to be that godly example and striving to be, continue to be mentored as well as mentoring others that are younger than them in the Lord. I pray that you would help them, Lord, as they strive to serve you and to lead their family. Father, I thank you for our families that we have here at Harvest Baptist Church, our ladies and our children. Father, what a joy it is to serve you together. Thank you for our ladies who do so much behind the scenes and are such a blessing to their pastor and pastor's wife. And Lord, we pray your blessings upon them, encourage and strengthen them as they strive to serve you and to be that Proverbs 31 woman. Father, we thank you for those that are serving you today here at our facilities, not only through the week, but those who are here, whether it be working in the nursery, taking children's church here in just a few moments, those who sing in the choir, special music, those who have provided security outside the building in the parking lot. Father, we're so grateful for their labors of love and ministering to their family, Lord, by fulfilling their opportunities and obligations they have in ministry. Father, we thank you for them. And the Father, we ask now for the blessing of the reading of your word. As we continue through the next area, 3 John, Lord, as we spend the next few weeks, if not longer, on 3 John, Lord, that we'd be challenged and encouraged by the preaching and teaching of the word. Father, I pray that you would be with our special music that's about to come to sing for us, that it would help prepare our hearts and mind continually for the preaching of thy word. And then, Father, we pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know, that they know, that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. Father, may that one who may be struggling in their Christian walk be challenged and encouraged. But most of all, Father, may we be obedient to thy sweet Holy Spirit as it moves in the midst of your people today to bring conviction, to bring comfort, or whatever it may be that's needed. So, Father, we ask that you do again what only you could do in our hearts and lives as we yield ourselves to you. We ask these things in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
See him waiting with open arms. John, this morning, and I know it's a short book, but we'll probably spend about 4 weeks. And you think, preacher, how are you going to spend 4 weeks on 12 verses? Well, hang around and find out. That's the best way to find out. We're going to do a little bit of a comparison and contrast in 3 John, and I'm going to start in just a moment by reading verse 9, and then we'll go back and read the first 8 verses. I know I usually read scripture before, but I wanted to be able to set this up. And today, you're getting a little bit of the carrot, and next week, you're kind of getting the stick. And they'll be a little bit harder next week, but I need to lay the foundation, and I mean this with love and all respect. I think you'd think less of me if I didn't preach the whole counsel of God. But I want you to notice verse 9, and then we'll read the latter part, and we look at the title, and you think of the title. I'm sure some of you are wondering. We'll get to that a little bit later, but the Diotrephes Derangement Syndrome. We need more Gaius. Folks like Gaius. We need more folks like Demetrius, but not like Diotrephes, and we'll get to that. But notice verse number 9 in 3 John, and it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. So this is the comparison contrast. We're going to go to the first 8 verses as our writer here, John, commends Gaius and the things he's done, things that he's doing, how the church is going. And we'll talk more about the negative or the stick aspect of it in the next overcoming weeks as we go further. But let's look real quickly in the first 8 verses. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper in being health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest in the brethren and to strangers. What have borne witness of thy charity before the church? Whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for this name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. And as I go through much of an introduction this morning, getting ready really for what I really want to spend more time on, this part is important as well, but not very often have I heard this second part of this chapter preached on in reference to Diotrephes, and we'll get to that next week. But there are many interesting folks that you will meet as you journey through life. Some will be self-centered, like Diotrephes, and want to be first in everything and have the undivided attention of others. You will find them in schools, sports teams, our government, in your family, among your children, your siblings, and even in churches. Some folks will do about anything to gain the attention to be first or to be in the limelight because popularity is the only thing that really matters to them. For those of you who have been able to be around a little bit and see the interweaving of our study in the Proverbs about acceptance and approval, you'll see this throughout the message today. Some of these folks will lie, cheat, steal, gossip, slander, sabotage reputations, indulge in drugs and alcohol and even sexual immorality in order to gain popularity or acceptance. They suffer what I call DDS, or the Diotrephes Derangement Syndrome. Not quite the same as TDS, that's more emotional and getting your feelings hurt. The third epistle from the Apostle John, I believe, will explain this a little further. And as we look at the behavior of Diotrephes, I want you to ask yourself if I have the same traits or behavior in my Christian walk. Do you have Diotrephes Derangement Syndrome? If you do, this is not a good thing to have. The sooner you change your behavior, the better off those around you that will be. And here as we go further here in the first 8 verses, and we'll cover more Diotrephes next week, but John begins his third epistle, and he refers to, number one, the intimate relationship of a good friend. The intimate relationship of a good friend. In verse 1 he says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. See, the word elder is a reference to John, who had biblical authority over the church that he was writing to. This letter was directed to his dear friend Gaius, whom John loved in the truth. In other words, he loved him in the Lord. Gaius may have been the leader of another house church in the city, but that had close fellowship with the church Diotrephes was leading, and John was warning him about this. This letter was to inform again and warn Gaius about Diotrephes' behavior and to instruct him to not to follow his actions. Don't follow his lead or his deeds. Gaius was not to be intimidated. He was not to be influenced or swept away by Diotrephes, who was very influential in the area, had a dominant personality. And by the way, fellas, we can apply that to our own personal life and make sure that we have that intimate relationship of that good friend that is challenging us as iron sharpeneth iron, and what we try to do Tuesday around the table to encourage us. And in verse number 2, we see the prayer of John. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospereth." John's wish or desire or prayer for Gaius was that his physical health would be robust and just as strong as his spiritual health. He could pray this because Gaius was a tremendous Christian leader. Now bear with me as I park here or pause here just for a moment. And let me ask this question that could be a very pointed. If your physical health was based on your spiritual health, would you be on a respirator in the hospital or on your way to the cemetery? Think about that for a moment. If your physical health was based on your spiritual health, would you be on a respirator in the hospital or on your way to the cemetery? See, would you be starving to death because you neglected to sustain yourself of the spiritual food of God's word and biblical preaching? John is challenging here, Gaius, and reminding him of some things. But dear friends, sadly, many Christians today would receive this prayer as a rebuke because they are spiritually weak and totally out of gas spiritually. I realize sometimes when we get physically ill, we're not feeling well, whether it's a respiratory infection, whether it's fighting sinuses and allergies in our life, whether it's fighting a flu when our body is weak. That's the time Satan wants to attack us, and we should not be overly discouraged and neglect our Bible time and our prayer time just because we're not feeling well physically. Please, I'm challenging you to examine yourself. John was writing to Gaius and warning him, and we'll deal again with more of Diotrephes next week. But today, as we cross over a little bit, I'm challenging you to examine yourself. Also in verse 2, I think at times it's been distorted by preachers who preach the wealth and health gospel, which states that it is God's will for all Christians to be wealthy and healthy, and I disagree with that. This false message teaches that if you give to God, you will be wealthy and be healed of all your sickness. See, John is not trying to say this, and we know such teaching is unscriptural. I have met many spiritual giants that suffered from physical sickness and were not wealthy at all. Have you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Job? Notice the words also in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." See, we should take care of ourselves and work to care for our families, but wealth is not to be our number one priority. Again, there's nothing wrong with God blessing you, but it should not be our number one priority. Money and possessions are not to be our gods or elevated above other things or other people. The phrase here in verse 2, "above all," in verse 2 here, does not refer to priorities. It means concerning or in reference to something. See, Gaius possibly may himself have some health issues. We don't know that for sure, but John was praying for his physical health to be as strong as his spiritual health. It was evident by what others said that he was a strong spiritual leader, a man of God. And John was saying, "I pray that your physical health would be strong as well." So, dear friend, how is your spiritual health? See, our spiritual health can thrive even though that we are waning or suffering physically. Number 3 in verse 3 and 4. the great joy that John was experiencing. He was experiencing joy as he was writing. He says, "For I rejoice greatly." Not just "I rejoiced." "I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." You see, other believers were speaking of the faithfulness of Gaius. And this is not something John experienced himself, but he read of or heard of others that were speaking of this faithfulness. The apostle was thrilled to hear what God was doing in his life and the fact that Gaius was serving God, serving the Lord, and walking with God. This great report was a blessing to John. Let me ask, dear friends, is your testimony, is your walk a blessing to others as they see you honoring and serving the Lord in your daily life? This should be a challenge to us to have a good report for the Lord. See, news that you are serving the Lord blesses other believers. Michelle and I had the privilege of and enjoyed some time together yesterday after making some hospital visits. We went over to one of the ballparks here in Goodyear and watched the Cleveland, still have a hard time saying Guardians, the Cleveland Indians Guardians whip up on San Diego Padres. A great game, enjoyed the sun, enjoyed the fellowship. But you know when you're there, I always look for the magazine that they give out at some of these ball games so I can read the scouting reports. To see who's starting the pitching that day, who the designated hitter is. I always have a big interest in those positions and who is pitching. To find out what their stats are, how well they have done. Maybe they'll say something about their college if they're a new draft pick, or they'll mention something about their previous years, what their best pitch was, how fast did they throw. And it still amazes me to see those guys get up there and hurl that ball 97 and 98 miles an hour. But I'm reading that report, that scouting report, to watch what to expect. And basically, John was saying he had received a scouting report of his Christianity, his walk, and his leadership from other believers on how he was leading that group of people in that house church. And he was thrilled and honored to see God use him and others speak of his testimony. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 30. The Bible says, "The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat." See, pastors are to have a good report, not only with Christians, but with people outside of church and those who do not know the Lord. I have a responsibility to have a good report with you, our church family, but also other churches, others in the community, especially those who do not know Christ as their personal Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Moreover, he must have a good report," referring to the leadership, "of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil." See, growing in your faith will help you to have a good report, a good testimony. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39, And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise." Dear friends, do you have a good spiritual report? Another thought just came to me, Brother Hunt. Went to the doctor here for my annual exam here recently. And before I went in, I think my appointment was on Tuesday, and the nurse called on Friday and said, "Mr. Cook, Dr. Wise wants to do a blood panel, so we'd like to ask you to make sure that you fast Tuesday morning before, or Monday morning, or come in Monday to give your blood, or later today if it's not too fast, in preparation for your appointment on Tuesday." So I got up a little bit earlier than normal. I was able to drink my coffee. I had to have it black. Had my coffee, went off to my appointment, had the blood work in preparation that they could, the panel they needed for my appointment on Tuesday. And then Dr. Wise went over some of those results as we met for them to let me know if there was a good report or something that I need to work on. Praise the Lord, they still haven't figured out what I'm allergic to, but everything else is good. I'm glad to be only on one medication, my arthritis. Otherwise, that's doing well. It was a good report. In fact, Michelle was so concerned, she said, "Well, I need to go to make sure you tell me the truth." Guys, that's why your wife goes to the doctor with you, to make sure that you're doing what the doctor tells you. But it was a good report, and Gaius had a good report from everyone within the community, others around him, and John was admonishing and encouraging him. Dear friends, can a good report be given about your testimony? Understand, again, that a good report blesses and encourages other Christians, but also realize that a poor report can be a burden or bring others down or direct others away from Christ. Verse number 5 and 6, the faithfulness and the care given by Gaius. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witnesses of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. See, John commended Gaius for his faithfulness to the Lord as he cared for the traveling missionaries and preachers that passed through the area, especially those who were strangers or unknown to Gaius, but they too had a good report. Those who were cared for by Gaius gave testimony about how he loved and had a concern for them and for their ministry. And that's the same type of reputation I want Harvest Baptist Church to have with missionaries. I want missionaries to tell their missionary friends, oh boy, over at Harvest Baptist Church, they take good care of missionaries. Hey, they love missionaries. They love evangelists. They care for them. That was a good report. But see, here's part of the reason also that was so important during this time. And the issue of hospitality was a big deal in their culture. In John's day, it was a big deal because the inns were terrible places to rest. Many innkeepers were crooked and their rooms were filthy and flea infested. Prostitutes and thieves loitered around where rooms were and those who stayed in them. And to avoid these places, families had networks of friends and families where they could stay in people's homes as guests. Reference letters or special family tokens as special coins and statues and rings or pendants were used to gain admittance to a home or place that was safe and clean for believers. These special tokens had been passed down from generations to sons and to daughters and to family members. Churches used the same system to take care of the traveling missionaries, pastors, and evangelists that came through. John commends Gaius for his hospitality and service in this area and encouraged him to continue down this path. Helping those folks on their journey was commendable and Christ-like. His service pleased the Lord. So, dear friends, that's a desire and something we should strive for as a church when evangelists come through, when missionaries come through, pastors come through, to encourage them and help them along the way. And then number 5 this morning, the honesty and goals of preachers. He also addresses the preachers that came their way in verse 7. He says, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. See, the preachers traveling through the region refused to take any support from those who did not know the Lord. They did not want anything to do that would hurt the cause of Christ, diminish his name, and hinder them from reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus. These men believed, as I do, that God's work is to be supported by God's people through the giving of their tithes and offerings unto the Lord and to our missions program. That is God's way, and by the way, it works. It has been proven every single year throughout history. Here at Harvest Baptist Church, we help support missionaries with your mission offerings to equip them to spread the gospel all over the world. And God has poured out his blessings on God's people here at Harvest Baptist Church and on people because of their attitudes or sacrificial generosity and to mission. God blesses those who give to missions. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Again, as John refers to the honesty of these preachers passing through. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to the windows of heaven and pour out unto you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And then number 6, the concern for and supply that we should make, not just what Gaius did, but that we should make in verse number 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. See, John tells us that supporting evangelists, supporting missionaries is a responsibility that we should desire to fulfill. When we do, we become spiritual partners or fellow helpers in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a part in their ministries as they share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As our missionary was with us this past Wednesday night, Brother Files, and he shared the pictures and told of the ministry and the new church plant they'll be starting when they head back to Thailand. And he shared the difficulties of the language and asking for us to pray for him as he gets a better grasp on the language and prepares to start this new church. As we pray that we become fellow helpers of the truth and not just giving to missions, but also praying for him and encouraging him in the Lord. Because, dear friends, we're bearing fruits on the account there in Thailand because of the giving and the prayers that go up for Brother Files and his family and the people of Thailand. Here we see the Apostle Paul as he lays the groundwork for Gaius as well as for us, because he is about to address a serious problem in one of the churches. Remember the carrot and the stick. He's laying the groundwork first. I've always been challenged in my counseling and leadership. Always start with the positive before you lower the boom and then try to back it up with a little more positive. And we've seen the positive, and it'll be a little bit hard here just for a moment, then we'll get to more of it next week. But the problem here that the Apostle John is wanting to address revolves around a leader whose name is Diotrephes. And let me point out, he did address him by name in verse number 9. Diotrephes was a big problem, capital B-I-G. Unfortunately, there are many who act just like him today in our world and in our churches. We have Diotrephes in all areas of life, from the home, work, school, and even in church, as I mentioned early in the introduction. They suffer from this Diotrephes derangement syndrome, and you may be thinking, well, what in the world is that? Well, synonyms of derangement are imbalance, irrational, instability, madness. We will just address this closer next week as we examine this Diotrephes derangement syndrome. You will be challenged to examine yourself and to see if you are infected. If you have DDS, you will be challenged to let the Word of God immunize you against this spiritual syndrome. So as we look this morning, as we begin to come to a close, and we've talked about this aspect as John builds up Gaius, as he helps Gaius to make preparation for things that will come. And he commends him with everything. And then he's going to say, but watch out, be careful. There's a concern. We don't want you to make sure we're not going that way because of John's oversight and care for the house church there. He reminds them and he challenges them. So this morning, let me ask you before we transition here for just a moment to close the message here this morning as I think about this. Do you have an intimate relationship of good friends around you that build you up and encourage you in your walk in the Lord? Do you also, as you think about it, as the prayer of John, are you praying for your church, for your pastor, and your fellow church members? He speaks of the great joy that John was experiencing. Let me ask, are you experiencing great joy in your life because of the way you're serving the Lord and the way that you're living for the Lord? The faithfulness and care given. Are you faithful to give and faithful to care and reach out about caring for your church family? Now, let me give an example here before we close. We've talked about faith, family, and fellowship as our new theme coming into the year. We've talked about getting involved in ministry and having an opportunity to serve different aspects of ministry, whether it be the proclamation and missions and going out and evangelizing, whether it be parishioner care, caring for your church family, pastoral care, or property care. I know these folks, I don't mean to embarrass anyone, but let me give you a few examples. As John was writing here to Gaius and encouraging him, let me say public as well for some encouragement that your pastor has received this week. I know I'll miss somebody, but just some examples. Miss Susan Doyle took some time this week and had some parishioner care and pastoral care by visiting Miss Carol in the hospital. Brother Derek and his dear wife did the same thing, Miss Rosa, and visiting and making sure she was okay and also keeping me up to date with what's going on. Am I still making any visits? Yes, I can, but I can't be there every day, all day. And they were following up and checking on her, loving on her, and encouraging her. And we went by to visit, and some of the first things she's talked about, not just thank you for being here, but man, it was such a blessing to see Miss Susan. Man, it was such a blessing to see Derek and Miss Rosa. They were such an encouragement to me. That's what Paul, John is writing about when he's writing to Gaius, about all these things that he's serving in this community. So what can be said of your walk in your life if the Apostle John was writing a letter to your pastor here? Would he include some of us by name because of our ministry and our faithfulness? He talked about the honesty and goals of preachers, and that's outside of the church. And then he closed with the concern for and the supply that we should make. He's saying, are we not only serving one another, are we serving in our community? Again, if a letter was written about us and we take Gaius' name out and you put your name in, what would he could be commending you about? What would he be encouraging you about? What would he say about your testimony that blessed him because of the work that you were doing? Let's stand together this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, and we'll have a word of prayer as our pianist makes her way to the piano. We'll have a verse of invitation. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning in reference to your walk, to your testimony, evaluating if you have that Diotrephes derangement syndrome or you have a sweet spirit. What would be written about your life? Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Father, each of us, I know, have so many areas of our life that can improve. But Father, we can also focus on those things that we do well and continue doing them well as working on other areas of our life. Help us to be faithful to pray to one another, for one another. Help us to be faithful to encourage one another. Help us to be faithful in the work that you have us, Lord. Help us to do what we can do. Father, I know many of us have different talents. Many of us have health issues that can't be here all the time. But we have things that we can do. We all can pray. We all can encourage. Father, help us to look inwardly, to self-examine. Am I doing what I can? What would be said or written about my testimony? Father, stir our hearts. Help us to respond and be obedient to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are still bowed for just a moment. Our pianist is playing. If God has spoken to your heart this morning about a need in your life, about some things that might need to be corrected, could you certainly fit the aspect of Gaius in your walk? Or would you be more like Diotrephes? What about it, dear friends? Has the Lord spoken to your heart this morning? Whatever it may be, why not yield to him where you stand or here at an old-fashioned altar, saying, Lord, thank you for the message. Lord, thank you for the reminder. Lord, help me as I examine myself to be that witness and testimony that is spoken of about others of me and my love and my desire to live for you and to serve you. Verse, and the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning. Where you stand here at an altar, you be obedient to the Lord as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart about your life, your testimony, your walk. Am I doing all that I can? Am I doing the best that I can? Do others see me as a godly example and testimony? hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way. It wasn't quite an hour. It was only 35 minutes. Dad, so glad you're here this morning. Looking forward to the fellowship this afternoon as well as this evening. And as always, God loves you and his preacher loves you. And if I can be helped you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. Those of you visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a long time, we're glad you're here. If we can answer any questions or be a blessing to you, please do not hesitate to ask.